BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, the Stanley Cup playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Who'd have thought?
I give the introduction to this show an A+. You know why?
Why?
Because there's so many of those going around right now, Moan.
Oh, my gosh. Timmy, yes. Andrew, both of y'all. It is hump day. You want to start this thing off right, or how you want to do this, DK?
You think I'm good enough to take cues like an intelligent person? I wasn't ready for that at all. I'm waiting for a bell. It says in my contract, only Bell does
only
the intro.
Only Bells. See, and look, we even beat James right here. No, not at 4-3. Get out of here, Jimmy. What is wrong with you, man? Let's start this show then, DK.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing to get an A+ from, I don't know, single evaluator. Right.
Me.
Right. It's another thing for someone like Brian Baldinger to say it's the best class of the draft. Okay. The Steelers did the best job in the draft. But when Pro Football Focus says it and the fans are going, yeah, Pro Football Focus is right, that's when we've gone potentially too far.
We have, DK. This class was constructed, I feel like, with the butcher knife. Not like a katana blade and nothing like this. you went in and started hacking meat off the bone with a butcher's knife, with a meat cleaver. That's what I'm looking for right there, DK, because that's what you essentially got for the first 4 or 5 rounds was a whole lot of meat, DK. Goodness gracious.
I have not, and I've been trying to do this, I have not recalled a time when this fan base was so unified behind any single concept. Like even things like, just in recent history, the Minka Fitzpatrick trade, you would think that would have had 100%. And it didn't. I was there.
It didn't?
Oh, no.
I wasn't paying attention like that.
First rounder, and he doesn't like to tackle. Minka doesn't like to tackle was the knock. Minka doesn't like to tackle was the knock Lord. Of all crazy things. Couldn't get people unified like this. This one, it might be 100%, Ramon.
Yeah. Yeah, it may be, man. The first question I have for you, DK, is this, though. Did you think we were that far behind as far as O-line, as far as that goes? Like, did you see 3? Because I'll be honest, 1 and 2, a perfect sense. I get that 100%. We'll get into those guys and everything too. Perfect sense, right? But when you go get another one, not just any other one, DK, but one from South Dakota State in the 4th round, the Jackrabbits?
Yeah.
I didn't realize. Well,
you're talking the Mason McCormick pick.
McCormick, yes.
What I'm seeing with the McCormick pick more than anything else, and what I picked up on from the Steelers, is that they're at that stage of the draft where they just say, listen, this is actually the best player who's down here.
Okay.
We don't really care if he's, if he's going to be an instant fit or whatever. They really like the McCormick pick. They really like the corner that they got after that.
Yeah.
So it's not just the beginning of the draft. It's not just you can't even say 3 rounds. You have to say 4.
You do.
Because that's where you have Peyton Wilson, who might end up being, again, according to people everywhere, the steal of the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what to say, Moan. I'm more, at this point, right now, more moved by the reaction than I am by the reality.
No doubt. And here's the other reality, too, DK. Super unique on this one, man. as far as Zach Frazier go, like, it's been times people can get, you know, as a mock draft, this guy should come here. You need this, fill this void and stuff like that. You actually got a guy that most of the fan base was speaking of and knew a lot about also. It's not like you missed on the guys that you as a fan base wanted. So you got an opportunity to rub your own back. It's like, yeah, we got one of those guys that everybody said we were supposed to get. The Zach Frazier pick to me, DK, was everything that you needed. He could potentially be a day one starter. I like the idea of him being the guy that gets what it means to play in Pittsburgh. It was documented that he was in the stadium on Ben's last ride, his last game ever. There's a lot of familiarity with it. There's a lot of, hey, this guy gets us. There's a lot of position-specific stuff that he does right there. Right, DK? John Davis said it. I love the Zach Frazier and Wilson pick right there. Right? Roman Wilson. That's another one. You get Hines Ward mixed with Deontay, mixed with a playmaker that's down the field type of guy that can just, he's gritty. That's what you got out of this class. It's almost like a reset of grit for this team, man, at every single position, man. Troy Faitano, oh my gosh. I've yet to hear anybody for the one, two, three, four, was he the fourth tackle or fifth tackle taken?
Sixth offensive tackle, yes.
The sixth tackle taken, I've yet to see anybody say anything bad about it.
Think about a draft in which the 20th pick was the sixth offensive tackle taken. Crazy. I mean, you know, sometimes beforehand, these draft prognostications and everything are like, this is a tackle-rich draft. There's no way they can watch these tackles go. And you'll see tackles fall all day. They said that about corners.
Yeah, they did.
There wasn't a corner taken in the top 20.
No.
But the tackles, it was as if people's lives depended on it. The Steelers get the sixth of that group, and the Steelers act like they're the ones that they got their guy.
And that's the thing about him. You can't feel bad about him. Again, we talk about how his aggressiveness, his style of play, his quickness. The best problem you got is what side do you put him on, DK? And not only just that, man. Again, you feel very comfortable, okay, very comfortable with the Zach Frazier pick because he's a position-specific player. He is a center. He's a guy that's from the east side of the United States where he's an hour and a half away from Pennsylvania. He understands the cold. He understands the culture of being a Steeler. He understands what it takes to fill in that spot too, man. That, to me, if it works out and he stay healthy, don't have any hiccups with the broken leg and stuff like that, DK, you know you got a fighter. So much so that, to me, that is one of his only drawbacks. His only drawbacks as far as Zach Frazier goes is he does like to use his grappling from time to time. Not in the holding sense, but in the NFL, he likes to grab and throw dudes to the ground. He can do that once he builds his reputation up in the NFL. Those types of things get somewhat called in games. Because it's considered, I think it's holding when you drag a guy to the ground or something like that, man. So I love the fact that he is a fighter. I'm not going to take that away from him. But clean it up just a little bit until you get to the Jason Kelce role. That's when, okay, we can start. All right, man, this dude was a former wrestler. He needs to use those attributes. Absolutely love it.
Grayson Brown, he's walking into the room with a lit match. Says, hey, Moan. I've been patiently waiting for this episode. Are you fired up? What are your thoughts on this draft compared to last year's class? Which everybody liked that one and should have. It was a quality class.
It was. I like this one, man, because this seems to me it helps you build a more solid foundation than the one you had even last year. Okay? This stacks upon what last year's draft was. That's correct. You got three dudes, well, maybe more than that, inside of that building now that can say this: we're going to take our lumps. And that's another thing, Grayson, I would caution everybody on. Just because these guys are high pedigree, high draft picks that you've taken in the first and second round the last couple of years does not mean they're going to be successful the first year. There will be a buildup. There is a learning curve in the NFL. If they don't have to experience a learning curve, Lord bless them. I hope they don't have to. What I love about it, though, is this. It wasn't overly necessary that you had to trade up for somebody, trade back for somebody. The needs that you had were right there. So you didn't overvalue a pick. There were also dudes that, for the positions that they played, can be plug and play. The adjustment from Faetano from left to right is something that we have to see if he goes over there.
If he goes over there, yeah.
If he goes over there, okay. And the convincing, if you have to, when it boils down to Broderick to me, right? Broderick, they're making just as much money on the right side. We love for you to be on the right side. If you're asking me who's, golly, I can't even answer who's the better athlete right now.
Yeah, I am, actually. I am asking you that. You don't know that. You don't have that answer. They're different players.
I can't give you a clear answer because of what you just – the different players.
The way to duck out of that is to do what I just did, which is they're different players. I look at Faetano and I look at Broderick, and I don't see the same player. I don't see the same position even. Faetano's approach to it is so footwork-based.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so – you just look at him and you think of a heavyweight boxer with unusually quick legs. Okay.
Yes.
Like this. Okay. And when I look at Broderick, I look at just like he's a sun eater, you know?
Yeah, buddy.
Like from the comic books where you're just like Galactus and you just eat planets.
Yeah. You're 100% right. Like if you're asking me to compare one to the other, just simply looking at their tape, I'd probably say Faetano's a left, Broderick a right because of his size. Say what you want to about the league. The size suggests that Broderick is probably better suited for a right throwing arm quarterback that a team likes to run to the right. But here's the thing about it. These dudes got to settle that out in camp as it pertains to who does what and which way the ball goes too. And the other thing you asked me about from this year to last year too, you have a multitude, DK, of immediate competition. Joey Porter Jr. to Roman Wilson, right? Okay, you got Darnell Washington to Peyton Wilson.
Oh, you're already lining them up at St. Vincent. Look at you.
This is what we do as vets, okay? We sit in them back and say, who you got?
Who you got?
I ain't going to say we bet money on it because we never exchange money. I got 50 on the young boy right there. Who you got? Keanu Benton versus Zach Frazier. DK, where are you going at on the first day of pads?
The first day of pads?
First
day of
pads.
What do you mean by where am I going?
Yeah, where are you going?
Oh, yeah, I'm going right to where they line them up. There's nothing else to it.
You want to go see Zach Frazier versus Keanu Benton, do you not?
Mind you, down at the far end zone. Yes, sir.
Two wrestlers. What are we talking about here? Okay, like this is the – so what I like about this class, again, is this. You stacked it with last year's. You stacked it to say, all right, it may not be as glitzy as we needed to, as far as you could have got a first-round wide receiver. Heck, you could have got another first-round corner because none went until Quinyon Mitchell, okay? You could have got another outside rushers, which in years past, that what we always bet on. Who are they drafting this year? Outside linebacker? They didn't. Yep. They went meat. They went meat again, and then they went a guy who said, no block, no ball. That's Arthur Smith offense.
I'll tell you what. There's so much to like about this draft, and we can talk about this like forever, but one of the things that hits me is you mentioned Mitchell just now, and that whole scene where Mike Tomlin walked out onto the field in Mobile and had Roman Wilson just said, you, go against him. Go against him.
Tomlin
is standing within about a foot and a half of this young man's back leg as he gets set. He wants to see everything. He wants to smell it, breathe it, the whole matchup. Do you actually want this? Are you nervous about it? Do you think you'll be able to do it? And while he's at it, he has the bonus ability to watch the other guy and to learn about the other guy. And we all know how the play turned out. I mean, it went really well for Wilson, but man, that's... I just can't say enough about this draft. And, well, let me throw this in before we get to the segment that matters.
Talk to me nicely.
I have one thought about this draft that stands out above the rest. And it is, believe it or not, for the moment, it's procedural.
Yeah.
Okay? I've been the only one, I feel like, pushing back on this idea that Omar Khan is Mr. Aggressive. Go get his guy. Go get him. Go get him. Go get him. Which one of these guys in the draft did he go get, Moan?
They were right there for him.
They were just coming to Papa. Okay? Okay? He's sitting there at number 20. He's waiting. he's waiting for Faletano to come raining down on him. And then he gets to the 51st slot, and he sees Jackson Powers Johnson go, and he goes,
okay, all right.
Okay, and then it's waiting, and it comes down to him, and he's going, man, but they're all going to be mad because I didn't get a wide receiver yet. But we all know Coach loves this Wilson dude.
Come on,
we
man.
Know that. We know that. So what happens? Oh, here go the other wide receivers. There they go. There they go. Someone's going to take him. There's no way. He's got some Hines Ward in him. Somebody's going to take him. And guess what? There's Omar sitting on the patio now. He's got a tequila, and he's waiting. Okay. And then the craziest thing is they get their wide receiver. In the fourth round, the best bleeping linebacker in the entire class. Well, we can't get through this without a linebacker.
It's sick.
Then Peyton Wilson comes down. Like, how did that happen?
It's sick, DK. it's sicko stuff. It's exactly what it was. And then, of course, I know somebody's going to ask it because it's been talked about on social media, too. But the fact that Brian McFadden and whatever he claims is coming down the pipeline, the speculation there that Omar Khan has another move up his sleeve.
Well, he does. I mean, he still has to get another wide receiver. He just does.
Yeah.
And even he's not really hiding from that. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Is that why he went on Pat McAfee show to get his media blitz out the way for one last time so he don't have to answer that question?
Well, my guess on this is that he went on that show just so because it James Harrison wanted him to so that Debo could jump onto the show. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt about it, man. But the other thing is this though too. People wanted to know what Arthur Smith, the new offensive coordinator's, mm-hmm. Mindset and attitude is too. Remember, I told you, he's gonna want to run the ball.
Oh,
he's gonna want to make sure his play action is good. He will throw some outside zone and pulling and pinning type stuff. He did it with Roger Saffold and Taylor Lewan. He did it with other guys in his offense. He has the ability and the know-how to understand what Pittsburgh ball is all about. And I even said this about maybe a few weeks ago, maybe in a month or so ago, DK, was what you saw, the lack of things you saw out of Arthur Smith in Atlanta, I think it's different when you're the head coach of a team and you're trying to sustain what got you hired. Now, in a role, sometimes it's okay for people, DK, and this is me. Like, I'm a leader, okay? I'm a leader, but I don't have to be out front. Some people don't need to be head coaches. Or maybe you get it too soon. Maybe you need a little bit more understanding of the business and how to operate and manage people because that's what you're doing as a head coach. You're winning the games, but you're managing your staff. So this time around for Arthur Smith, I think it's probably more pressure on him to prove, DK, that, hey, I'm a good coach in this league. I know what I like to run, and now that all that's off my plate and I only got one side of the ball to worry about, and I got all the weapons that I could possibly want. Now let me go prove and show that I can do my job well.
And it's entirely possible. In fact, at this point, it's entirely plausible that the Atlanta Falcons are run by idiots. Okay? Let's get real about this. It is very rare that a pick in the first round makes everybody go, what?
What?
Yeah. What? You did who? What? Why?
And the when and the wheres.
I mean, not since Cleveland was drafting 30-year-old quarterbacks have we had that reaction.
Stop. It ain't even from me today. It's from you. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You like that? All right, guys. When we come back, we're going to get to the only segment that actually matters. All the rest of this was frivolity. Yeah. Well,
let's do it.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
The barber comes in with a great observation. Barber's already getting ready for one of his many drives that he makes every year out to Latrobe. Says, they granted my wish. Benton versus Frazier, beautiful ugliness. Oh, yeah. Hey,
only thing that'd be better than that, DK, if this was actually Ali versus Frazier. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he was Keanu Ali, man, goodness, that would be awesome right there. But again, I want to temper expectations just a smidge. I don't want to be a wet blanket to anything because everybody's undefeated right now. Yeah. We're all going to the Super Bowl. But again, in the NFL, there is an adjustment period. I think there will be a figure out process as it pertains to Arthur Smith and what he want to do also. But the excitement on having the players. Again, we spoke about this a little bit when it came down to Coach T a little bit, right? Like the pressure to win and compete is way higher than it ever has been. The pressure to compete as far as Coach Tomlin and his time in Pittsburgh. Not that he's on any hot seat or nothing like that.
They haven't won a playoff game in way too long. That's what.
Wouldn't you say that's a little bit of pressure? And he'll tell you to your face and not even blink, I'm fine with that. You know what I'm saying? Which is why I hope for our sake of being fans and me being a Steeler for life is this. We see those results under his tenure because as far as we know, the way everybody's judged this group, this is one heck of a draft class. And the last one was just as solid too. And those second year guys, if I'm not mistaken, except for Corey Trice, have all contributed to a certain sense.
It's an amazing scene, and I have so many ancillary questions about it, both individual and collectively. The main one that I have before we get everybody else's in, and this is for you, as I look at this class and I see all of these offensive linemen come in, and we're all so over this, Moan. They're not going to be at their best in the first 4 to 6 weeks of the regular season.
No, they're not.
Are they?
No.
And I think people need to – they need to start getting a healthy dose of understanding that right now. You can align them however you want. It's not going to work for a month or two.
Yeah, and it's that way with veteran teams too. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it especially happens. With it's young happened. Guys.
Yeah.
So and here's the – what you do know is this, though. Before we start taking questions, what you do know is this, DK, is – each day in training camp, and it's hard anyway. DK, you've seen it, right? Our training camps, they're pretty vicious, right?
To be worse than they are now.
No. Okay. The fact that you've interjected this youth serum into the team, meaning all these young fellas come in, there will be 0 days off of physicality. Okay?
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, you're right.
0 days. Hey, we got a veteran team because you've seen us have, hey, just shells day where we're just in soft pads, no contact. This is Mike Tomlin circa 2007 again.
Yeah, it has to be.
To where them dudes hated him.
Because you're also going to be having a lot of, you know, just football in shorts, as he derisively refers to it, which is all he's allowed to do in OTAs and minicamp and so forth. But once you get to Latrobe, he's going to seize upon every opportunity. Pat Meyer is going to seize upon every opportunity. Arthur Smith has to define an entire offense.
Even he will be shocked, I think.
I think he might be. I guarantee you he wasn't putting the Falcons through this. What's about to happen?
Let me brag for a second. If y'all can, make your way to Latrobe, Pennsylvania. If you have the ability and just the family vacation time to go, and go on about the fifth day, sixth day of training camp to where it's really real.
You're waiting that long? Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to see all the stuff with shells on and shorts. No, I want to see them gold pants on, okay, and them white jerseys that look like they're super puffy because you got shoulder pads on. That's what I want to see. I want to see somebody go over to the sideline and walk up the hill because the day was a bit too much for them, DK. That's what I'm looking for, okay? So call football soft all you want to. Take yourself to Latrobe, Pennsylvania in late July and all of August.
I just think that there needs to be an understanding that especially if everybody's got their dream alignment, that you're going to have two ice-cold rookies on the offensive line. You're going to have a guy entering his first full year as an NFL starter at another position, meaning Broderick, of course.
Yeah.
So you have Isaac Seumalo, you have James Daniels, and they're both on the interior. You're counting on a lot of things to go right with three very, very, very young rookies.
And if I'm coach, though, there is one player I'm pulling out. I'm pulling Isaac out, and I'm putting in Mason McCormick. It's just that simple, too. Isaac, I know what you got. I'll give you the first day or two.
You mean in camp?
In camp, yeah. 2 days Isaac, home, Isaac
can just sit with
a day off. That's where I'm at with Isaac. If he's penciling in as LG1, yeah, that's where I'm at, because the more you can get those young fellas reps, the better this squad is going to be. Let's go, though, DK. We can do this all day, man.
Yeah, that is actually true here. Teresa gets us started today. She says, hey, Moan, how long do you think it'll be before you start getting peppered with O-line gelling questions? I mean, he just got one.
Yeah, we did, Teresa. I see the laughing emoji behind that. Again, this is a buildup to take time for, okay? I'll just say, look at my ladder, okay, as far as Philly's left tackle. Now, it took him a couple years to become the dude that he is, okay? Nobody on day one was talking about Jason Kelce, okay? Nobody on day one was probably talking about Trey Smith, who's with the with Kansas City Chiefs. So name a multitude of guys. Day one is probably Pounce, being real with you. Joe Thomas. There's probably a few others sprinkled in, too, but it ain't many, DK, that jump out of the gate. Trent Williams? Tell me somebody who bragged on him in his first year. So let's be cool with it.
Yeah, exactly. A Pittsburgh Hornet says, hey, Mo, do you think that they'll extend Najee Harris? And I think Hornets is referring to picking up his fifth-year option, or I guess extending him. The fifth-year option, for anybody who doesn't know, the cost estimate is $6.8 million. But that's not even a debate. Yeah. He's such a big part of your offense, and we're talking about a year from now. Travis Etienne just got picked up at basically the same option, meaning with the Jaguars. This is not an interesting discussion or debate. I know, you know, there's probably people trying to turn anything into that, but it's not.
Well, what I tell you is this is Pittsburgh Hornet. The power's in the Steelers' hand, and it's also Najee's too, to say this. Extend me out for 9+ a year, and I'm okay. They can give him 3 for 27. That's above core running back market at this point. And I think that's very doable for him. Maybe a tick more or less, depending upon. But if the franchise tag is 6, DK, around 6?
Yeah, it is. That's it. I mean, I understand. I mean, that's a lot of money in the real world.
I just can't understand because everybody else's values have
20s. Yeah.
Yeah, 20s.
Running backs, man.
Give me 3 for 27 and probably 20 guaranteed or something like that, and we'll cook from there.
That's what ATN, I believe ATN's was 6.1 with Jacksonville.
I ain't saying you're wrong. It's just like, dang, this is what we are.
Yeah, this isn't a discussion that, or a debate that's worth even having. Yes, absolutely, they would do that. Now, maybe they would turn it into an extension.
Yeah. Yeah. Hawk put fifth-year option on, not the tag. Yeah, what I'm saying is, yeah, the fifth-year option is there for that one. Extend me out, DK. I'm taking whatever team-friendly I can to get as much money as I can up front.
No, that's good stuff. Hodge says that – let me find this here. He says that Vegas is projecting 7.5. Is that accurate?
That's probably about right, because you don't know what you're going to get from the quarterback. This is a new group. You got to find another receiver. I'll say you add another game to that because of if you make a high-value trade soon.
I don't stand on
7.5, but what I'm saying is I can see why they can set it that way.
Hodge says that they continue to embarrass themselves. What needs to be understood here is that Vegas isn't an entity. They're just taking money. They're just taking bets. They're moving the line as to whatever it is that gets them bets. This isn't about some, you know, people sitting in an ivory tower on the strip. Okay, this is just the way the money is coming in right now. So if you want to say the bettors are continuing to embarrass themselves, you can say that. But 7.5, they just won 10.
Well, that's what I'm gonna say, man. Put 200 down on the over. That's what I would do in that situation right there. Is put 200 down on the over and see it at the end of the season. They can't predict that. Right now, they got a way too early mock draft coming out. They got, there's so many teams in the top 10. I'm like, you don't believe teams get better, but okay.
Take the over. That line's going to move a lot once other people take the over. The barber reminds everybody to touch the like. Please. Do that. You don't want the barber mad at you. He carries scissors.
He'll mess up your lineup. I'm telling y'all, people talk about you with a crooked lineup. You don't want that problem, so hit that like button.
Brian says, hey, Mullen, the team had quite a bit of unrest last season. Are the Steelers past that, and will team harmony prevail? I don't know. What are we talking about?
I know what
about?
You're talking about.
Quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think the back and forth, trying to figure out what was going to happen at wide receiver. And I'd also
know that
think
that was
too,
internal unrest, though. The quarterbacks remained great friends through the whole thing, all three of them.
Yeah, they were at least cordial at work as far as like whose job it was and stuff like that. Unrest is probably us in the public expecting or thinking a certain thing, and in-house it not be that at all. So, Brian, I will say this. There's been a lot of change. This group, I'll say this too, either has to come together or get beat down together. One or the other has to happen. You know what makes a team come together better? Probably getting your face smashed in one or two times, going to training camp and beating the heck out of one another. That helps that because it brings out the best in people when you hate losing and you want to be in, you don't want to let down people that played in front of you.
Good one here from Brad, who says, in light of Omar making every single pick count over the last two drafts, I'd rather give up a single first round pick in the 2025 draft as opposed to giving up a second and a third to get a wide receiver in a trade. That's obviously now the next thing. It wasn't enough to have this elaborate draft. Everyone wants, you know, Justin Jefferson, who, by the way, is the only guy that I'd be giving up a first rounder for out of any of these that get mentioned.
He's going to take two.
Okay. It would take a lot to get him. Yeah. However, with the rest of these guys, as wonderful as it would be, I'm not shaking my head because I don't like them as players, but it's, when you're talking about value and you're talking about a Brandon Ayuk and he's approaching, you know, the he's getting to the wronger half of the 20s.
the longer, the worse, DK.
Yeah. These wide receivers, you got to get one, and you're going to have to give up something to get one. Yeah.
It's worked out before when it comes to Omar being in a room with Kev making the Minka conversation work, right? It worked out before.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, that's, you know, you've got to – You got to identify what it is that you want and say, hey, this is this thing. All you have to say to anybody when it comes to this wide receiver discussion is picture this team with dot, dot, dot. And then you put some player, whether it's, you know, Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, even Cortland Sutton, and you just throw them into it and you just say, oh, okay.
Yeah, it changes the profile a little bit.
It changes the whole feel of the team.
It does. Also, from my understanding, it's public reporting, Minka didn't fight Deontay. It was Chase Claypool, I thought.
It was.
Yeah, it was Chase Claypool. No, let's not spread that one around. Deontay is a solid individual. Again, however he found his way out, he did. But Deontay ain't that type of player to be garnering fights like that.
I mean, I was actually at the Minka and Chase Claypool fight. Okay, so I don't have to guess at that one. I don't even know what I don't even know what's being referred to here. What are you saying?
No, he was talking about unrest in the locker room. I think it was as it pertains to that, DK. So it wasn't Minka Deontay. It was Minka Chase.
And yeah.
I think we see how that worked out and why that happened.
It didn't work out well for Chase.
There we go.
Because standing in line behind Minka was TJ Watt.
See what I'm saying? Is he signed right now, respectfully?
Who?
Chase, is he still with Miami? Is he a free agent?
I have no idea.
Those are the conversations we're having right there when Minka fights you.
Mike Jones says, who prevailed? You know who prevailed? This one's easy, okay? It was the entire team against one guy. So, you know, this is, I mean, there was hardly anybody was taking 11's side on this.
That's terrible. When your teammates don't want to come to your rescue, that tells you a lot about what kind of team.
Either that or they just didn't want to be dealing with... You guys, you see Minka in these games against Cincinnati when he's just, he's like this wildcat.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the Minka. That's the person that you don't want to fight.
Yeah.
Okay. Nah. It's not a matter of who's bigger, who's, you know, who's got the frame or whatever else. You don't want the killer. Minka is the killer.
Yes, he is. And he's still knocking them off, man. He even had Cleveland mad at him for making a routine play.
That's right. That's right. Oh, God, was he missed last season.
I know.
And then to watch him, you know, watch him in that playoff game against Buffalo getting beat like that, and you know that's not him.
That's not him. No, that's not him. But it got him some help, though. They got him some help. In the name of Peyton Wilson, they got him some help, my brethren. Goodness.
They got him some help. I like Deshaun Elliott. I think they've got some guys on that side of the ball.
And we're leaving out, of course, Logan Lee. Let me say this, okay? If you ever find yourself with a player from Iowa, believe him, okay? Believe them. They don't really play freshmen like that. I think they had a first round of last year. They ended up going to Green Bay. One of the first guys to go 3 years and be done. They have a mindset that's a whole lot like Pittsburgh. Don't be surprised if you see him make waves, Logan Lee, and it may be more run stopping than almost anything, but don't be surprised if you see a guy like him, because certain colleges train up guys a certain way, and most Iowa players come out ready to go.
Yeah, everyone's telling us here that Chase Claypool went to the CFL.
Lying.
He's from Canada, so he actually would have a very easy time getting work up there on a multitude of fronts, not least of which is that he's not subject to the nationality roster limits the way that American player would be. For anybody who doesn't know how the CFL works here, Hornets says Iowa has good team colors. You know what I think when I see the Iowa uniforms? I think they look more like the Steelers than the Steelers do.
Oh, straight up.
Oh, this block numbers, everything. It's just it's tough to watch.
Is everything still more? Yeah.
To this day, you know. I have a couple of good questions here for you, Mo, and I've been setting them aside.
Okay, I got one. I'm gonna put in there too, also.
All right. This is the one I really wanted you to answer. Now they're kind of asking you to play orthopedic surgeon, which is a little rough. But just in case you have any familiarity with this, I'd love to hear this. He says, "Hey, Moan, why do you think Peyton Wilson played without an ACL? I understand not wanting the draft stock to drop, but he had a chance at injuring his knee worse by playing.
Why? Because the body inherited it, and it actually proved that he could play. The ACL is one of those situations. He doesn't have one at all anymore, right?
That's correct.
Neither did Hines Ward.
That is correct.
So the body adjusts. It always does. If either you've taken it out and you've been living without it for a very long time, the body finds ways to strengthen around it and you adjust to it. You don't even notice it. It's almost like getting your wisdom teeth pulled. You know they're there and, hey, it can be a problem for you, but when you remove them, do you even think about them anymore? The answer is no.
The closest I've gotten to coming up with my own answer on this is that the lack of an ACL is supposed to have some sort of limiting impact on your lateral movements.
Yes.
Okay.
Remember, I'll give you a moment. Whenever RG3 tore his and he was walking back to the huddle, I think it was a playoff game or a late in the year game, his knee went out. He was walking and it moved out.
Yeah, because it's supposed to keep it there. Okay. So for a linebacker, yeah, you're running a risk, by the way. Everybody's, you know, writing poetry about this guy and everything, but you're running a very, very real risk. And it's not just Greg Lloyd and Dan Marino. There's a lot of different athletes in a lot of different sports who've done it. But to do it in football at a position like linebacker or like wide receiver, where there's so much this going on, it's asking a lot. And here's hoping the best. You know?
Here's hoping the best right here. You ready for one? Hold up. Yeah. Real quick. Hold up. From Dennis.
Who's this guy?
Dennis said, can't tear an ACL if you don't have one.
This is true. And then he takes the obligatory shot at the Pirates, who are very easy to take obligatory shots at this point here. I want to hear from this Ramon Foster person who says, what do you think of this? Nobody brought up Cam Sutton, and it's a valid subject. What do you think, Moan?
It is, man. DK, you said it about a couple weeks ago too. The conversation surrounding Cam didn't get cleared up as loud as it was exposing him. There was a lot of legal stuff that actually cleared it up as far as his reputation, as far as the situation that went down too. Cam's situation wasn't as crazy as everybody made it out to seem. He was he was actually at the facility when he found out he was wanted.
In Detroit.
Mm-hmm. He didn't even realize that himself. So here's the thing. It hadn't been brought up yet, but we'll bring it up because, again, we're talking about rebuilding this team and trying to find answers to the test, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that they met with him, and this is a conversation more than anything. The fact that they met with Cam, whether it be Coach Tomlin and Omar or Omar and whoever else, right? Coach Terrell Austin, lets you know that there is some engagement there. And if it does work out and he's really cleared all the way through, I can see a situation where a reunion somewhat happens. I see it to where if a guy has been that egregious in what he's been charged with or assumed to have done, you cheer and root for a bunch of people that have done a lot of speculated worse things. When it comes to Cam, can he play? Will he be cheap? Heck yes, he will. Does he understand the culture?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Is he plug and play? Yes. Julio Garcia asks, is Cam willing to come back? He met with him. At this point right now, his bidding is maybe $1 or $2 more than the other team.
There are a lot of people who have, this is to buttress the point, because I brought up Cam Sutton and the possibility that he could come back a month ago, and I was pretty much set on fire.
You are.
I mean, it was the end. How could you even mention that? And at the time, that I brought it up, it was the morning after all of his everything was reduced to a misdemeanor. So all anyone had heard was all of the worst stuff, and he's a fugitive, and he's running from the law, and he's the, you know, the worst thing ever. Which again, I mean, I'm thinking this too. When you're reading about strangulation and stuff like that, it's like, wow, what are we even talking about here? Okay.
Yeah.
But if you're open-minded, not regarding that potential scenario, obviously that's heinous beyond words.
Fair. Yes.
However, to reality, as opposed to the perception of reality, and the Steelers do their own investigation and the NFL does its own investigation. But there's also another thing that has to be thrown into this. And that is, can he still play? He did not have a great year for the Lions. He was
asked to be an outside corner.
He was asked for the first time in a while. I'll take all things clear.
Yeah.
And I mean totally clear. I'll take Cam Sutton as my nickel corner, and I'll win with him.
All day long on Sunday, will you not? And you know he's capable enough to move outside if somebody goes down. So Hawk says charges dropped from a felony to a misdemeanor already.
Yeah, that's what happened the night before I did the show, and nobody'd heard about the news. So here I am going, hey, bring Cam back, because all he did was strangulation and something, I look like, you know, a monster. But I had already known about this other stuff. So if you have a way to do that, and you're the Steelers and you have the proper amount of, as you do with Omar vetting, always, vetting, get Jack on the job. You know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay, over at the facility. He communicates with the police. He's an honest guy. He's not going to be looking for, give me the answers that I want.
Yeah.
He's going to be looking as to what actually bleeping happened.
Yeah.
And come up with answers. If you don't like the answers, see you, Cam. No thanks.
Which is, again, to your point about the honesty of it, too. Tavondre Sweat went second round. The big tackle out of
With the DUI, yeah.
Yeah, with the DWI situation. Do you understand, like, there's also a report out there that he was actually more in the right than wrong. He actually got hit from behind, and his car flipped 3 times over. Nobody's reporting that, though.
No. Funny how that goes. Eric says that Cam could still be punished by the NFL. Not really, Eric, because these investigations would have to correspond. The NFL would only go after Cam Sutton if they had information that was damning, okay? But if the Steelers check this out, the NFL checks this out, which is the only scenario I'm talking about, the NFL's not going to come in and suspend him.
Yeah, if he does, I can't see a whole year or anything like that, man. Did we see Tyreek Hill in his situations? Because it was reported live last year about him having some domestic issues, and I don't think Tyreek missed anything, and I don't want to compare anybody to what Tyreek got going on, but yeah.
Yeah, this stuff, Cam seemed like a chill dude. We just don't know.
We don't know people and what makes them twitch.
We just don't know. So sitting here making pronouncements or declarations in one direction or the other, we actually legitimately do not know. I have a couple others here that I really liked for you, Moan, and then we're going to have to call it.
Rodolfo is wrong. Something is wrong with him.
What do you say that?
Put his comment up. Please don't put Rodolfo's comment up.
I will do that here. Let's. No, I mean, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Julio says, hey, Moan, I know this is a tricky question, but last year Broderick Jones struggled to learn the plays. With a new playbook, can his struggles again come to him. I don't know what that means.
Come from him. He's basically saying Broderick Jones struggled to learn players last year. With the new playbook, if he struggled again, will he come from the bench?
But did he?
No, he didn't. No. He's a rookie.
And he was moved to right tackle.
Yeah.
He did pretty well.
And game speed is always a difference. That's why I'm telling everyone, temper your expectations within year one. If they exceed them, that's even better. Even better, okay? Mm-hmm. But everybody struggles within that first year. Even with Pounce making a Pro Bowler, there were MEs on that tape. What gets you to your second year is your hustle, how you finish plays. That is the specific thing that offensive linemen need.
And there's a lot of talk about conditioning between the first year and the second year. Is there not?
Oh, buddy. Yes. Yes, Lord.
This is second year NFL shape, as the head coach will yell at anybody and everybody who fits into that category here. Pie Guy says, I'm just worried about the Ravens and the Bengals. They've improved also. Funny how this has been the one year where nobody's really brought up the Browns in particular. Isn't this when the Browns are usually getting all their headlines?
Well, they're just now getting off the books for from what's the name? For Watson.
Watson.
They're just now getting off the books from him. I think this is the closure of their last pick giving up for him. You worried about him? Guess what? We worry about him too during the week when we're about to play him. Pie Guy, we're all in the same boat. I like the Amarius Mims pick for them. But again, they're gonna have the same struggles we have. If you're worried, Pie Guy, think about TJ Watt rushing off the edge of one of their tackles. That Ooh. Should make you sleep better.
I like now we've got Spices Dander up here. She says, y'all love making up stuff. Where'd you get that? He struggled to learn the plays. I have no idea.
That's true.
I have no idea.
Spice.
It's really a strange thing to even bring up.
Yeah, I'll entertain it. You know I like to entertain
it. No, Julio comes back. Yes, he did. If you watch again, he was always asking the right guard what he had to do. At the end of the season, it was no more asking. Go ahead, Moan. You lived it.
Julio, communication at the line of scrimmage is crucial.
Crucial. Everybody does it.
We over-communicate. You know why guys say, man, we don't even have to talk to each other? It's because they've been playing with each other long enough. That was his first time as an NFL starter with the new guy on the side that he hadn't played in a very long time. He's supposed to. You know what I'm teaching to the young kids now that I'm coaching in football? Who do you got? B to 52. Who do you got? Ace to 35.
Talk.
What would you rather have? Them talking and knowing where they're going, or them being quiet, acting like they know where they're going, and you getting tackled in the backfield?
That's a point that Dan Moore makes all the time. In locker room settings, he said, we have to say things. We can't sit there and be too proud and think we've got all the answers or worry about what our teammates will think if we ask the question. Stuff will happen, right, Moan? Yeah. You're just gonna blank out for a second. Hey, hang on. Marquise, where am I going here? Say?
On yeah. What? On what? Again? And guess what we would say at the line of scrimmage? What's the snap now? On two. They heard it. So what? On two. They ain't going to jump off sides, but the cornerbacks can't hear that.
Anthony Stewart says that the yellow journalism is real about the Steelers today. No, it's not actually, Anthony, because when you're referring to journalism, you're referring to professional reporters. And this stuff that your people talk about on here isn't professional reporters. It's Joe Blow with a blog. Okay? And if you fall for that, that's on you, not on
Shame
them.
Shame on you. This is what you're saying. They don't have a credential to come actually watch and see practice. They just take clips from the internet.
Or to be more specific here, it's not that I have the option to go into a setting and ask. I'm not playing the expert. You know that. I don't do that on this show either. Okay.
Yeah.
I just ask. You tell me.
Yeah.
How many times do I say that even over the course of this show? You tell me. I could watch 80 consecutive years of the NFL from a press box and not know what you've accumulated in the span of a single season.
That's true. Respectfully.
It's very true.
Yeah.
The same is true in reverse. I could throw you into a press box and you'd be completely fish out of water.
I'd be in a mixer, DK, is what I would be into, okay? There was a good one that just came up a second ago. A good question. I think it's very fair about Arthur
All right. This will be our last one today.
Very fair one.
Arthur Smith. That's what we're looking for.
I think it's the last one I start.
Smith's offense, Hanover. It's right here.
Yep, you got it. You're going to read it
out. Smith's offense only emphasizes one wideout, Moan. Who do you think – do you think we're really going to need a second expensive wide receiver?
If this wasn't a family network, I'd use a different word. But for the sake of keeping it clean, heck yes, you need another one.
Yeah.
You say his offense emphasizes one wideout. Well, there
it did in Atlanta.
There has to be one, but that one was pretty much all he had. Again, you say what you want to about the tight ends and offense, which is why I wasn't super high – wasn't super high on the Georgia kid being drafted that high either. But as it boils down to this, I will say this too. Looking at the offenses that Arthur Smith has called and the personnel he's had, it's been predicated a good bit off the running game and the running backs. I don't know how consistently you can say, as far as Arthur Smith and his offense pertains, that he's had a really good one and two wide receiver, okay? That's where I'm at with it more than anything. The two that he had, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, A.J. got his, everybody else fall into place. When it comes down to you picking out who's your guy and moving forward as it pertains to who gets the lion's share of the passes, that guy will get it. That's the reason they're wide receiver one. After that, he does spread it out. And also, the dwelling of your offense or the expansion of your offense always boils down to the personnel that you have, too. I hope, for the sake of the success of this offense, we see a lot of competence in play calling. We see a method. We see a running game. We see complementary ball. And here's the other thing behind that, too. You have or expect your quarterback to be a veteran, to understand the playbook front and back, understand where the ball goes, and also have some input on what they do and don't want to run. So that's the difference I hope that we see out of Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh versus the other places that he's been in. You can't say he didn't make a Pro Bowler out of Kyle Pitts. You can't say who's their wide receiver two in Atlanta or their wide receiver one in Atlanta. Give me one.
They second. Got him targets. I remember.
They got him targets.
They got him targets. The targets line up with pretty much what everything else.
Drake London.
Yeah. Both of those guys, London and Pitts.
Yes.
Have gotten the same amount of targets that you get anywhere else here. Look, this idea that he's, you know, he's going to go out there with a 1965 offense is, I mean, let people think that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
You know, you don't go and get Russell Wilson if you're doing that.
Yeah.
Let's remember that too. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, James asked, do the Steelers really need Cam? The question is, do they really need a nickel corner? And the answer to that is,
yes.
You tell me who it is right now. Okay.
James second.
So we'll come back after this with some closing thoughts. Taking care of a little bit of business here today. Levi Smith came in with 20 gift memberships. Make sure you have, if you're not already a member of this show, that you have those turned on to accept the memberships. You'll be able to take advantage of Levi's generosity here. Our friend Rochelle showed up early on with 50. It is what she does. You know what else she does occasionally?
What's that? What? Why?
She sees her own 50 and she says, I'll raise you 20, Rochelle.
A cool 70 right there. That's cold blooded.
She's just that way.
That's cold blooded.
It's a wonderful community. It's been wonderful to have so much positivity. To go back to the beginning of the show, Moan. You know,
I don't know if that scares me.
I'm unsettled by it.
Yeah, that almost scares me a little bit. We don't usually get this type of praise.
Frank has a good question. I can't let it go here without us signing off. He wants to know, do the players on offense have the playbook already?
They can go see it. I don't think you can take it home just yet. They're able, I think, to be around the building, meet with the coaches for a certain amount of time. But taking it home, no. But I'll give you the wink and the nod on that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Get my drift. There's ways to learn.
Just don't leave it in Kenny's back seat. Remember that
I do.
Crazy, all right, guys. Well, we will be back with another one of these shows. It'll be next Wednesday.
Yeah, yay!
And a reminder that this show, when the football gets going, so will this show.
Yes. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. We just don't want to fabricate storylines around football.
We leave that to others.
Yeah, we do.
All right, guys. Next Wednesday, everyone.
Peace.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.